B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 5:04 here in the evening. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Catch us on the app as well, 98.5 The Sports Hub app, or our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Live stream, plus all the replays. Podcasts, all of that. That's where you want to go for your replays. They put the whole show up online. They'll even give you a Felger and Maz in a nutshell 30-minute recap, which is also valuable as well. So catch that on the app or 98.5thesportshub.com. Felger and Maz off-air show also returns tonight. Myself, I'll go solo. No one around to do me to do it. There's no one around to do me. There's no one around to do it with me. So I'll be solo on that thing at 6 o'clock live on Facebook.
Either way works.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, come do me at 6 o'clock because I'm solo. So I'll need you on there to ask me stuff because I'm not just doing a 15-minute monologue.
Going
to
be a cam girl, eh?
Okay. So what does that mean?
Never mind.
We'll live show.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
They take your clothes off and, you know,
ow!
touch yourself.
Cam girl. Yeah. Got it.
Well, you need a spit in the hand.
I'll give you a little man cheese if you want. I'll do whatever it takes to fill the 10, 15 minutes.
I don't know about you, Murray, but I need less than that.
Go ahead.
Facebook Live, 6 p.m. Okay, me solo. And Maz is on CBD today, by the way. He's tried the CBD oil, which they say has no effect on your consciousness. No, it just you don't feel it, which I find impossible to believe. But that being said, has Maz acted any goofier today than he normally does?
No.
No.
No, and you say try it like I've never tried it before. I've had it before, just not on the air.
So you've just not done it during the daylight, you know, during the working
yeah,
hours.
I usually do it at night before I go to bed. The CBD, I mean. And then, you know, today I thought, what the hell, I'm going to try it during the day. Because at night when I take it, in theory, it's a sleep aid. And I can't really tell much of a difference because I fall asleep. So, and I fall asleep most nights. It's just an issue of staying asleep. So today I said, screw it. I'm going to try it and do it on the air.
And?
It doesn't feel like it's made much of a difference. Maybe I need a higher dosage or something.
Yeah, you got two more there. Suck them down.
My motor tends to run high.
Famous last words. I don't think it's doing anything, Jim.
Yeah.
You know?
I've heard that before.
Next thing you know, you're running naked through the common, screaming, make it stop.
Got a $50 puke charge from Uber.
On Tuesday of Super Bowl week.
Or you're barfing out an Uber. Anywho, we started with this. Channel Media and Market Research, a deeper dive into some specific Patriots questions. And the one that fascinates me and is always worth a conversation, because I think this is the topic with the Patriots. You know, it's even more of a topic to me than this season and the present. The present is accounted for. They're going to be in the AFC title game. The team looks great. The league looks horrible. The division is caca once again. I mean, it's fun. We'll track every game and all of that. But let's face it, the present is accounted for. It's how do you keep it going? How do you turn what's been a 20-year run into a 30-year run? So that, to me, is the pressing issue on the team and the thing I'm most interested in. And I'm curious about your feelings on it. And this was a question, a specific team-specific question, from this survey that asked. They asked you, and you could vote 1, meaning completely disagree, to 7, completely agree. They asked you to vote on this. I believe that the Patriots should do everything they can to make sure Brady retires here as a member of the team. And again, 1 to 7. So if 4 was right in the middle, a non-answer, answers 5, 6, and 7 mean you agree that they should do everything they can to make sure Brady retires as a Patriot. That equaled 90%. Okay, the top 2, 6, and 7 equaled 79%. If you just went number 7, it was 58%. But if you did the first 3 categories, it equaled 90%. So 9 out of 10 of you think they should do everything they can to make sure he retires a member of the team. And I just wanted to ask you again, do you really feel that way? If I crystallize it for you with some real scenarios. In other words, let's say Brady's play really falls off and they've got a young kid who can play. Let's just say this happens next year, okay? And Brady's play really falls off. Maybe he fell off maybe 10% last year. Let's say he drops another 20% this year. And the Stidham kid, Bill tells you, and Bill tells Robert, the Stidham kid can really play. And he can be your guy for the next 10 years if I'm coaching him to start. Do you really want to let Stidham go or stuff him on the bench and pay Brady whatever it's going to take to pay him out of free agency to take it down to the nub and make sure Brady plays nowhere else other than New England just because you can't stand the sight of him playing in another uniform. Do you really want that?
I really do. Yes, I really, really okay. do. I want the nub.
So here's an either dumber scenario. Kansas City says, right now, we'll trade you Pat Mahomes for Tom Brady. Would you do it?
No.
Okay, so...
I mean, you know my answers on these, so I'm letting Murray go here.
Okay, so...
I believe in the next guy.
Because when the question says, should do everything they can, I read that, which means do something that's not best for the team, do something that's not best for the future, do something that may actually hurt you in the near long term.
Tom's the priority.
Just to make sure Tom never puts on a Tennessee Titan or Los Angeles Ram uniform. You know, you're willing, and I know it doesn't, you know, Paul mentioned Len Bias. It was a good point before, but just work with me. You know, Larry Bird never played for another team, but because you never moved on from him or Kevin McHale, you had 20 years of nothing. But you never had to look at Larry Bird in another uniform. Was that worth it to you? And how do you feel? So do you really feel that way? Do you really believe they should do everything they can, which means literally Tom over team? And so, you know, I asked, and you know what? I think we've gotten every single call has said Brady over team, that I'm okay if they go in the dumps for the next 10 years just to make sure Tom Brady plays nowhere else. I mean, we've got, and I think that's our calls have mirrored the polling. That when I asked you, do you really feel that way? You answered, yep, we feel that way. Murray's answer on the email was, oh yeah, F the next guy. Let Brady retire here, and then whatever happens next, I literally could care less, Murray says. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, no big whoop. Brady forever. Throw any name at me too, Felger. Mayfield, Trevor Lawrence, Mahomes, Pizza Boy. I mean, again, it's unfortunate he has to go there. Pizza Boy, whoever, Murray says. Tom over team. And the added bonus of spiting Bill, I'm in 100%. So that's Murray's thought, and it turns out it's your thought too, which kind of surprises me. To me, I don't know. I think too many of you have forgotten what 4-12 feels like and how useless a bad football team is, and that I think you say that cavalierly. You know, Murray says, well, you know, I don't care. You know, even if you are right with the next guy, it's not going to be Brady. So you're not going to win championships. So yeah, you'll win divisions. You may go to the playoffs, but you're not going to win championships because you don't have Brady. So screw it. Makes no difference to me. I might as well be 4-12, which blows my mind. You know, 12-4, but you're not winning championships, to you is the same as 4-12.
I also don't think it's going to be that dire once it's over here. And if it's Stidham or whoever the next guy is, even if he kind of sucks, I don't think it's going to be as bad as 4-12, 3-13. They'll still be all right, because I believe in the franchise and everything that they built here, too. It's mostly been about Brady and Belichick, but they've built a really good thing here. And they did even prior to that, when it was Parcells and then Pete. They still had a competitive product out in the field, so I don't think it's going to be like as bad as it was for the Niners and the Dolphins it was at over different points over the last 20 years.
So, you know, when you really think about it, though, independent of what happens next, isn't the whole, like, mantra of the Patriot way that the team is bigger than the individual?
Yes.
Everything's about the team. Team, team, team. In other words, Bill lets Mankins go, it's about the team, so it's good for the team. He lets Seymour go, it's about the team. Like, there are fans that would bash us for when they let guys like that go. Right? Bash us. And again, I was wrong on Mankins. Okay, they won the Super Bowl that year. But now it's Brady and it's different. So, and look, if you want to say, well, Brady's an exception. Of course, he's the exception to all rules, for crying out loud. But if you believe in the philosophy, it really shouldn't matter.
Correct. But Murray's point, too, is that, you know, it shouldn't have to be so black and white. I'm making it black and white to really crystallize if you really feel this way. Because if you really feel this way, then the Packers never should have moved on from Brett Favre, and the Niners never should have moved on from Joe Montana. The same mentality would have said, and not that, you know, Favre certainly or Montana accomplished what Brady did or were as good as Brady, but they held that sort of emotional sway over those fans and those teams. So by your logic, the Packers should have just let Favre play it out, let Aaron Rodgers go, because we don't want to see Brett Favre ever play another game in another uniform. And the Niners, the same thing.
Mike, the Montana thing was close.
So if
what Montana, Favre was not Brady, but Montana was close.
Using your logic, the Niners never would have gone to Steve Young and never would have had another 10, 15 years of success. I mean, okay, you never would have had to watch Montana play for the Chiefs if that's really that important to you. But you wouldn't have had what came next with Steve Young, who's a Hall of Famer, not Montana, and you only won one with Young as opposed to the four with Montana, but you were in the playoffs every year, Murray. You were contending every year. That's not worth it to you?
Yeah, Steve Young was real good, too. But, I mean, he was there. He was there already behind Montana. Right now, I mean, it's this Jared Stidham, who has looked okay in the preseason. We don't really know. So, no,
they had to cut the cord. Both the Packers and the Niners had to cut the cord to go to the next thing.
Yeah, but Brady's a freak of nature. And while time eventually catches up to all of them, whether it's, you know, Marino or Montana, whoever, any of the greats, it'll probably happen to him too. It likely will. But for right now, I'll take Brady at 40%.
What happens if it catches up to him and he wants to keep playing?
Well, I'm Tom over team.
Okay.
The future.
Do you really feel that way? 90% of you should do everything they can to make sure he retires a member of the team. Do you really believe that? Your thoughts after this.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm just curious, was there a part of you that just wanted that put to bed, and there's a relief now that just you have some clarity with that situation?
It is what it is. That's a good line. So whoever said it, it's very pertinent. So, like I said, there's a lot of guys who have, you know, 1 year left on their contract, you know, so the situation, I got 1 year to go and we'll see what happens.
Brady, a couple weeks ago after his contract was announced. Yeah, you really think how he corrected the guy who was asking the question. It might have been Reese, I'm not sure. But the question was, are you relieved that it's over and you've gotten some clarity on your contract? Sort of playing into the bogus nature of the, you know, he got a 2-year extension, which automatically void. So they're completely, as phony as NFL contracts are and the salary cap is, that was real phony. They spontaneously combust the last day of the league year. So complete phony extension. And whoever was asking the question was sort of playing along with, oh, you got an extension. Does that feel good? And Brady says, I don't know. It is what it is. I got a year left and we'll see what happens. I mean, he's the one that made it clear to us. No. Year left. Then we'll see what happens.
No, again, I told you when the news of that story first broke, I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. And I didn't understand the contract either, right? Because that whole concept to me is foreign. What do you mean you tacked on 2 years, but they don't count? That's the stupidest thing ever.
Welcome to the NFL salary cap.
Okay, but then the next day, when Brady commented on it, that's when my opinion really was formed. I went, he doesn't sound happy. He doesn't sound happy at all. I mean, from the standpoint of, you know, the security or lack thereof with the contract.
And you believe, according to this polling, that the number one priority on the team, the number one thing they should be doing is taking care of Brady and his contract.
You meaning the fans.
You, listeners. The fans, the listeners, the fans, the people being polled, think the number one thing the team should be doing, above anything else, is paying Tom Brady to ensure that he finishes here.
I'm the resident Brady honk in the room, and even I wouldn't say that. That's just kind of stupid. And if anything, I think this might light a fire under his ass, this contract they gave him this year, and he ends up having an MVP-type season. I wouldn't be shocked at that.
Okay, so you're going to have to pay him eventually.
Bring in an actual tight end that can be a sort of decent enough replacement, so we're not going to miss Rob Gronkowski that much, or a real deep threat at wide receiver, or a little more help at wide receiver. Those are more pressing matters than anything else.
I'm just saying, what I would have voted 7 for, you know, completely agree on a scale of 1 to 7, is something that said like this. I believe the New England Patriots should do everything they can to make sure they are as competitive as possible for life after Tom Brady. Even if that means sacrificing a little in the short term for the long term. They should do everything they can to make sure that the next incarnation is as good as it can be. That would be my personal thing, but then again, I'm not a fan like you, and we all feel differently about it. How do you feel about it? Mark and Watertown, bring us back. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I agree with you, Felger. Maybe I'm the only one, the only caller so far, but it bothers me anytime any player on a team is placed above the team, especially in football, kind of given that it seems to be the ultimate team game. Every time I see that TB12 logo, it looks to me like it's 12 before team, 12 BT. And I think more concerning than how fans feel about Brady is how ownership puts Brady above the team. And I think there's precedent for that, and I think it's going to happen again. And so I don't see why were even wondering about it. You know, the entire organization was absolved in Deflategate. Brady was, he still got the four games. The Patriots stuck with him and gave up first round and fourth round picks. And they put him above the team, even though everyone, the coaches, ownership, the equipment people, the equipment head guy was absolved. So, and to those like people on the survey that think that Brady's underpaid, just look at the built-in gain he's going to have on that house that Kraft helped him acquire. I think that the fans look at this through rose-colored glasses.
Okay, so the team wasn't absolved. They still lost a first-round pick. But to me, I think, to Murray's point, it's just a little too cavalier about, well, the next thing after Brady's not going to be great anyway, so what's the diff? Because you think 4-12 is the same as being, because you think the L.A. Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs and these teams suck.
Yeah, the Chargers definitely do.
And they blow, and it's useless, and you don't want to be them. Even though San Diego had a better year, L.A. had a better year than you did, a better season, better regular season than you did, and made it to the second round of the NFL playoffs. To Murray, that's the same as going 4-12 with some suck bag quarterback, which blows my mind.
I'd rather be fun bad than be teased, because I've been teased before. It was the late 90s, Pat, and no, that sucked.
Being teased is called being a fan of every other team and every other sport, because that's how it goes. And if you're going to be good year in, year out, take it. Take it and run. Yes, it's not going to be the same without Brady, but that doesn't mean you have to be 4-12. And there is a difference, and you'll realize it real quick if that does become a 4-12 situation. Brian in Boylston. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. I'm actually a team over Brady, and I honestly think that the Patriots were at some point, too, when they drafted Garoppolo. Now, obviously, I don't think that they predicted that Brady would have the years that he did afterwards. I think that they were looking at it like, all right, we get two, maybe three more years out of Brady, and then we bring in Garoppolo. So I think that they've already shown that they're going to be, you know, team over Brady, you know, the Patriots organization.
Well, so hold on, Brian. Yeah, thank you for the call, but you're talking about two different things.
That timeline, as he said at the beginning, I don't necessarily disagree with that. You know what changed everything? Deflategate. Because with Brady getting wronged by the league, and look, I think that he did it, but that was, you know, ridiculous punishment that he got for that, and all everything that happened with that, people treated him like he was a wronged family member, and that really galvanized the base of Brady fans more than anything else.
Hell, I'm sorry, Murray, I didn't mean to cut you off. I would even say that I think it pushed the Krafts. Like, first of all, they redid his contract, remember? So the hit he took from the suspension was less.
Did they lose a first-round pick, by the way? They did. I want to make sure I got that.
Didn't they lose a third in the next draft, too?
I mean, I can recite you 90% of the text messages back, but I can't remember that. Like, give me some of that CBD, but go ahead.
But I also think that the Krafts felt like Brady was unjustly persecuted on that. So they redid his contract so he'd take less of a financial hit, and I think they went out of their way to defend him
or protect him. But they didn't fight. He fought. That's the different thing. Like, you know, there was a lot of sword rattling from Robert Kraft for a while, but ultimately he stood down.
I think.
My point is, Murray, that they felt guilty about it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And that even day that after the fact.
That's part of the reason they traded Garoppolo?
I think that's part of the reason they stood up for Brady. I don't know. I wouldn't say necessarily trade Garoppolo, like that there's a direct cause and effect. But I think they recognized they did Tom wrong.
I think Deflategate was a really, really small part of it. I think it was pure competition 101. Like, Belichick thought Brady was declining. He drafted the next guy. Kraft didn't intervene because it's a second-round pick and it's Bill's roster, and this kid out of Eastern Illinois isn't on my radar. But then it turns out the kid can play. Bill loves him. And 3 years later, now it's in front of Kraft where, my coach actually wants to go with this guy? Now, and then Kraft steps in. So Kraft was never on that train of moving on to the next guy. He let Bill draft the second-round quarterback because what's the diff? But then once it came down to that, that's when the owner stepped in.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that however far he was on Brady's side, and I generally agree, Deflategate pushed him further.
Okay, maybe very, there at the end. But, you know, this is instructive in this whole thing because Bill has been in this spot before, and the owner stepped in and said, no, we're sticking with the old man, and they were right. They were right, Maz, and even you have to admit it. They were right.
Sure.
Brady beat back Garoppolo, and it was worthwhile keeping Brady because they're going every year to the Super Bowl. So they were right. If it happens again, Will they be right to the same thing?
Okay, again.
And if you're going to Super Bowls, that's an easy choice. But let's say Brady's play falls off and you're not going to Super Bowls, but you're just sticking with Brady because you don't want Brady to go anywhere else. Is that the right approach?
Look, again, you know how I feel about this. So you want me to tell you that in the short term, Brady got them to two Super Bowls? He did. You said three earlier. It was two. Okay? It was two.
And two since the trade.
And they lost the first one. Okay, so they won one since they traded Garoppolo.
Yep.
But that aside, if Garoppolo turns into a Hall of Famer and wins championships, was it worth it?
Yes.
Okay, see, I would debate that. I'm not sure I would say that. I need to see the full body of work. Now, look, is he going to become that? Probably not.
I need to see, you know, I also want Brady to play another couple of years to really finish it off. But, no, to me, you know, you drafted Garoppolo, you started going to Super Bowls, you started winning Super Bowls again. And so it's worth it.
And what if Brady leaves anyway?
So if he leaves after this year and he only gives you the two extra years, three extra years, that's not quite enough. So, I mean, I'm with you on that. We got Bill in Dover. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. This is an asinine discussion. And, Murray, you're off base, man. You can't – I wouldn't pay Brady a nickel more than you're paying him now because you're paying him what he's worth. Why mortgage your future? You pay him for what he's going to produce, not for what he did, not his body of work. This is a business. It's not a family business. So to say that, you know, 4-11 is the same as 11-4, or, you know, whatever the numbers may be, that's just lunacy. That's ridiculous, Murray.
No, we'll agree to disagree. You can have your false hope, and I'd rather just watch them suck. Ooh, they're 10-6. They could get into the playoffs, and anything could happen with Jarrett Stidham or fill in the blank with Bum Dujour, who happened to have.
What's wrong with that?
I would rather true suckiness than hope. Oh, I hate hope. Get out of here with that. Oh, anything could happen with this new guy post-Brady. No, with Brady, I know what's going to happen. We all know what's going to happen. They're going to be there at the end. They're going to win the damn thing over and over and over and over again. So keep giving me that until it's completely and finally done, and we can still have that for like 3 to 4 more years. So no, I'm not going to mortgage the precious future for Tom Brady so we can move on. Who wants a seventh? I want a seventh. We all want a seventh. And who's to say there's going to be a future in the first place with the Amazon burning down and glaciers melting and every idiot next to you with a gun?
Well, now you're talking on my side of the street. Now that you may have a better point on that than the other thing. We continue with your thoughts, and again, we'll just reset the current thing again real quick. Gronkowski, did he quit football or did he quit the Patriots? We'll do that after Murray's update here. The Patriots made a trade today, by the way. There was breaking Patriots news, details on the trade right here.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports
Hub. He's all set. He doesn't want to come back to this team and this coach and the way they do their business in the way that is the expectations are so high, the pay relative to what he was enjoying. Compared to other players,
but didn't
was so
he say
low.
When I left, I had a year left on my deal. So if I come back, I think I have to. Come
it would
back
be with the Patriots.
Yeah. So again, yeah. I mean, this is a team that tried to trade him. This is a team that underpaid him. This is a team that made his ass get out there every single game in the preseason.
So how much of it by the end was the injury, and how much of it was the environment?
They were in lockstep. They were 100% in lockstep.
Again, I think it's a pretty telling comment from Tommy Curran last night on NBC Sports Boston. Rob Gronkowski was done with this team, this coach, the way they did business, how he was paid, how he was used. And then Danielle Trout and Michael Holly there on NBC Sports Boston say, well, he's under contract for 1 year. If he comes back, it's got to be for this team. And Curran goes, exactly. One of the reasons he's not coming back. And so, you know, you just sort of say headline, did he quit the game or did he quit the Patriots? Or, you know, there's as and they ask him, was it about the environment in New England or was it about his you know, the sport? And Curran says 100% in lockstep, as much about the team as it was about his injuries, as much as it was about his, you know, burning out from the sport, which again, I think is a pretty significant comment. And, you know, we'll see if Rob Gronkowski does come back. Does he want it to be here? And that's just something to consider down the road. I think there's zero chance this year. I think he shut that door yesterday. He did it again today in an interview with the Associated Press. So I think this year is a non-starter. And I think it's his plan to never come back. I do think there's a chance. You know, you never know. In a year or 2 years, you wake up one day and you change your mind. So I think that's possible. But this year, forget about it. And this year with the Patriots, doesn't sound like even if Tom asked him to come back, that I don't know, again, based on what Curran said, that Gronk's going to be all that, you know, eager to come back here. So there's that. We've hit on that. Also, The Patriots today have swung two different trades on the offensive line. Murray, get us updated again.
All right, so the first one today was Corey Cunningham, Cardinals offensive lineman Corey Cunningham, announced on Instagram he's been traded to the Patriots. Turns out it's for a sixth-round draft pick next year. The exchange was from Field Yates of ESPN.
And I'm sorry, again, because we've never heard of any of these guys. Corey Cunningham was a seventh-round pick of the
seventh-round pick of the Cardinals last year, played in six games, all starts at left tackle last year for Arizona.
So started six games at left tackle as a rookie seventh-round pick for the Cardinals last year. Okay, and the next trade?
So Jim McBride of the Boston Globe then tweeted just about 10 minutes ago, the Patriots are trading for Baltimore Ravens guard/tackle Jermaine Illuminor. 6'4", 338 pounds, started three games at right guard last year, played both tackle and guard in college.
Did you say how many starts you had just there?
Three.
Three starts.
At right guard.
Okay, so we don't know what they gave up for that. I would assume it's another low-round pick. And I'm sorry, Murray, I was typing when you were speaking, so if you said it, I apologize.
No, okay.
When was he drafted?
No information on where he was drafted last year yet.
Fifth round, 2017.
Okay, so these are relatively young guys, low-round picks, who are borderline starters on other teams. You just wrap them up like that. One guy feels a little bit more like a tackle than a guard. The other guy feels a little bit more like a guard than a tackle. What does it tell you, Mez?
Tells me they don't like the makeup of their offensive line, especially after Andrews went down. So, like, I look at that and say, you know, I know that Karras is going to play center, it sounds like. But I still think there's a possibility that Tooney may end up having to slide over there and they need a guard. And maybe that means Wynn moves over. Like, the bottom line is this. Boy, the offensive line feels really fluid at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, all over the place. The right side feels set. Right? I mean, yeah. I think we agree on that.
Yep.
Mason and Cannon, known commodities, so not a lot going over there. Not a lot going on over there. But in terms of the rest of it, from center to left tackle, I think it's all fluid and only because Tooney could move. Right? It feels like that all could move.
Yeah, so then Wright isn't set because he's their right guard. They bring in this guard.
No, Tooney's a left guard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So do left guard talk on your own time. I'm just saying that. None of this really hits my radar because they're worried about their depth at guard. They're worried at their depth at swing tackle. Like, you know, I'll leave that for Bedard. The only thing that would just sort of get my attention is if they had questions about Wynn at left tackle. And we don't know this yet. The kid that they traded for from Arizona feels like a left tackle. The reports were earlier that they've tried to trade for Trent Williams. And you have to wonder, it was subsequently reported the Patriots offered a first-round pick for Trent Williams. And then the cartel sure got out there and shot that thing down. Which gets my attention a little bit. I mean, it didn't feel like a Patriot kind of offer to me either. But I don't know anything, right? I'm just, you know, giving you my impression from the outside. Maybe they really were in on Trent Williams. I mean, there was certainly enough smoke there for there to be fire. So they're in on Trent Williams. They just traded for a left tackle from Arizona. If they had questions about when at left tackle, that to me would scratch my radar. Like that I find significant.
Absolutely, it is.
And there's some reason to believe that maybe they do, or their durability concern or something. Something there with Wynn would be, to me, significant.
I mean, go back to the spring when Dante Scarnecchia made that comment, right? And again, the comment effectively was, we got to get this kid on the field, or we just got to get him on the field, which can lead you to believe that there was a rehab problem, a work ethic problem, whatever. And I'm speculating. But I'm sorry, I also put emphasis on the Andrews injury. I don't think that's a small thing. I mean, that's the guy in your center of your offensive line. You say, well, you know, anybody can play center. I think there's a chemistry with the quarterback. And so, and I'm not just talking about the snaps. I'm talking about seeing everything the same way. And so, to me, that does have me a little bit concerned. And, you know, the more I think about it, I don't think they offered a first-round pick for Trent Williams. I'm willing to bet that the Redskins asked for one. And the Patriots said no. And so the Redskins twisted that around so that anyone else who's interested don't bother coming to us unless you're talking about a first. But the further along we get here, maybe that price comes down. It costs you a third or a fourth, and then you make it.
Well, either way, if they have concerns about Wynn, that to me is significant. So there's your little reset there. Back to your phones. As promised, Mike in the truck waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on. Mike, what do you got?
Yeah, Felger, I think you're going a little soft on us. I think you've been beaten down by having bad takes so much that you throw out the safest takes that you can come up with now, because the Belichick-Brady thing, of course Belichick is going to outlast Brady, because Belichick, as long as he doesn't lose his mind, can coach for as long as he wants. Brady, on the other hand, doesn't matter how many kale shakes he drinks or how often Guerrero is rubbing him down, at 42, he is in a decline.
Correct. I said that was an obvious point. I said that was an obvious point at the time. Why are you expanding on it? What's your point?
My point is that Belichick, as long as he wants to coach, he can coach for as long as he wants. He doesn't. It's not a physical thing with Belichick.
Right.
Brady, he plays well. He can still play.
So you call up to rag on me for my obvious milk take, and then you give me the exact same thing for a minute? Why don't you give me something more? Okay, so yes, of course, Bill could do it. My point is he going to? Will he? There's a shelf life there, even if he's capable of doing it. You know, he's on record as saying he doesn't want to be Marv Levy and coach into his 70s. He's 67. So that, to me, is part of the equation here, that the next quarterback is the single most important thing on this team. And while Belichick could coach for another 15 years if he wanted, he said he's only going to go to 70. And there's a shelf life on him, whether he's capable or not. And I want him, as I've said a million times, drafting this quarterback, bring him into the world, and giving him the runway. Because that, I think, gives you the best chance to find the next guy. So, there's that.
I mean, the bottom line is, for many Patriots fans, particularly the ones that answered in that survey, I think their values are a little out of whack. That's all. I mean, now again, I get it, because of the allegiance and loyalty factor with Brady and what he's done for the franchise and the city and everything else. But at the end of the day, that's how I look at it. Their values are out of whack.
Here's John in Taunton. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi, Jonathan. What do you have for us? You're on the air, please.
I just wanted to say that I'm Brady over team right now, because they told Brady this whole time that they were going to pay him, and he took sacrifices for the team. And when it came time to pay him, they didn't really want to give him what he wanted. So I think it's our time to sit back and say thank you for the six rings and give him what he wants. And when he's ready, you know, if he's out there and he stinks, then he'll probably want to walk away. So I trust his decision. And, you know.
Okay, so even if giving that money hurts you in the future, which, again, I don't believe, because the contract thing, I'm nuanced, because I don't believe in the salary cap. I think they could pay Tom Brady more and still surround him with good talent. I've never bought that. But just to play along, if you're making a choice. So give him what you think he deserves for past sacrifices at the expense of the near future. Really? I mean, they've been screwing them all the way around. So, really, you're more concerned about Tom Brady being made financially whole versus the team being as good as it can be in the next couple of years?
See, don't underestimate the element, too, in this thing of the fact that Brady's the employee and the you know, Kraft and Belichick are the company. Like, you know, because everybody says that they're worth more than they think they are. You know what I mean? Everybody is, in their mind, is worth more than they get paid. So, in their mind, you know, listen to that guy. Well, look at what Brady did all these years. How many people go home and say that? So they connect on that level, aside from the fact that, you know, he's the greatest quarterback that ever lived. So, like, there's another element why people are on Brady's side on this and why they're as loyal to Brady as they are. But the fact is, when Brady's gone, the Patriots still play.
Yeah, just keep building around him. Like, the money aspect, I really don't care. I want him extended, but, you know, to make it fair for everything he's done, whatever. Bring in a tight end and a wide receiver, that's a bigger concern for me.
So when it comes to the money, you want to see it surrounding him.
Yeah. Continue to build around Brady. No, keep screwing him on the contract. I think that keeps motivating him.
All right, we continue. One more to go here. Felger and Maz, the final word comes your way next. The best of Felger and Maz today, which, again, usually means worst of, right after this.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
You want to plug your little cam show you got a good going on? Show.
I'm sorry, what do you call it?
Little cam show? You by yourself?
A Felger off-air show solo. That's why I call it the Felger off-air show. Facebook Live presented by Ace Ticket. Also on Twitch, 6 p.m. sharp. I'm going to run into the back office and do a solo show. See how this goes. If it doesn't go, and I ain't doing it again. You have to find someone else to come in there and just, you know, we've got to play off somebody.
You should do a 900 number with it.
I'll do a solo act.
1-900-DO-MIKEY.
What'd you call me, a cam girl?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if it comes or we get slow, I'll start unbuttoning stuff. I'll no problem. Whatever it takes to fill the 10 to 15 minutes, as I said. But so join me and ask me questions there online so I got something to talk about. Because I'm not a monologue artist. But 6 p.m., Facebook Live, presented by Ace Ticket, Felger Maz Off Air Show. Maz, right before we get started, how's the CBD going?
Good. Yeah, I told you I didn't really feel anything. I think I get up the dosage.
Yes.
Maybe tomorrow we'll try double.
I love it. Let's just keep throwing it down until we feel something.
Yeah, we'll do it again tomorrow. I'll double it tomorrow, and if that doesn't work, we'll double it on Friday and get the, you know.
Excellent.
Yeah, like they're these little, like, what do you call them, lozenges?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I took a lozenge today. Tomorrow's two, and if that doesn't work, we'll do four on Friday.
That doesn't work. We'll have Murray bring in the big guns.
Yeah, that's all. We'll just, you know, make sure we get the stuff that that actually works.
Is there no smoking policy in this building?
I'm sure there is. In most places, more places of business, yes.
I'm not doing edibles, Murray. Go ahead. Go.
All right. Well, then what are we talking about? Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So these two trying to run Brady out of town again. So the talk was, what will it be like post-Brady? What if it's 14-2? What if it's 4-12? Is there a difference? Not to me. Well, 4-12 or 12-4 and lose in the divisional round? Like, it's all the same.
Why don't you? It's not. It's not all the same.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You wouldn't take 12-4 and losing the divisional round? You have a season.
And I have to deal with some suckbag, ultimately. A guy who really has that, like, that taint of loser on him, like Tony Romo. Like, it's all the same to me. I don't care.
It's not all the same. See, you know what? It's just been so long since you've
really
experienced.
It really is.
It's not.
Like, because if a guy like that is going to cost me a game, a Romo pick six, you know deep down is coming. Because I lived this with Bledsoe. Because Bledsoe was good, but in my heart of hearts, I knew at one point it was going to be Pat Pack, the ball, step back, throw off the back foot, interception at the worst possible time. Ooh, but they finished 10-6. Ooh, they got to that 1-2 Super Bowl in '96.
No,
crap.
Murray.
All so crap.
Hold on.
Murray,
so, will you watch? Will you watch?
I'll watch even if it's garbage. I watch Thursday night. Oh, I watch Jacksonville, Tennessee on a Thursday night. You don't think I'll watch?
No, I'll be there. Not the same way you won't.
Because once Brady's over, it's not going to be the same.
No, you're not going to
watch. The Rats are going to leave the sinking ship, even if they finish 10-6 with some bum quarterback after Brady.
Murray, there's no way you'll watch a 4-12 team the same way you watch a 10-6.
But you're saying, and you've said this now, you basically just said this, to you, unless you're winning the Super Bowl, basically 4-12 and 12-4 is the same difference to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. I've been warped. I have been corrupted by the greatest of all time.
Are you sure that CBD stuff doesn't get you high? Like, if there's no impact on your brain, it just loosens the muscles? Really?
I don't know. We're going to find out in the next 45 minutes or so. No, I got some under my tongue right now.
Is that right?
Yeah. You think I'm kidding? I'll show you the package. It's right here. Here you go. Here it is.
Oh, that's great. Really? Open drug use here at the Hub. That can't hurt.
It's not really drugs.
Well,
it's borderline.
I mean, it tastes like it, though, doesn't it?
Tastes like drugs?
Doesn't it kind of taste like weed?
Nah, not really. No.
I'm just giving you a real edible, then, and you
Thank
can
you.
Deal
no,
with it.
No, no, please just no.
Then I'll just tell you what CBD, and you deal with the consequences.
We'll
go from there.
Exactly.
Paul Perillo, Patriots.com, making his first appearance of the football season today. With that comes the singing of Sunshine Day. Here it is, the three of us.
Now, you boys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go, Murray. Maz.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hey, Paul.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
Uh-uh.
I gotta get out, get me some of those rays.
Woo-hoo!
Everybody's smiling.
Yeah.
Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day.
Woo!
Everybody seems happy today. It's a sunshine day.
The big boy's back.
I do like the start of football season.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that Paul Perillo and Greg Bedard are back. But you can get them for the Patriots offensive line. The tool.
What have come on the baseball reporters there, Anthony?
One at left guard, one at right. So Red Sox won against the Rockies last night. You know what that means? Jack squat, zero. Absolute zip. They didn't pick up any ground, really, which is, I'm going to share with people a text message that Matt McCarthy sent to me this afternoon. You get a look inside the twisted mind of Matt McCarthy. We'll do that to start the show. But the real thing I want to do, in all seriousness, I started looking at the Red Sox payroll. But currently going into the offseason and how much money they're going to have to play with in the offseason, and also look at the number of needs they have on the roster, and let me just tell you up front. We're going to go basically area by area, starting pitching, relief pitching, infield, outfield. That's how we're going to do it. And let me just tell you that what I think they want their payroll to be and what their needs are don't line up. I'll explain when we get into the show.
Okay, here comes Murray's update. There are no commercials. Then you get Maz and the baseball reporters. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Getting you ready for the Patriots and Giants in that fourth preseason game. But we'll see you at 2 o'clock for more of This Good Time. We'll see you then, Tony.
Bye-bye.